Welcome to Hat Chats. This is your host, Michelle Baker, and today our special guest will be Ellen Braley. She is a watercolor artist and calligrapher who has made a great name for herself in the wedding industry, doing personalized stationery, wedding invitations, all kinds of adornments for special occasions, greeting cards, etc. And Ellen is celebrating 20 years in business as Elle's Cards. So let's welcome Ellen Braley to Hat Chats.
Hat Chats. So happy anniversary to you and to Elle's Cards.
Thank you. Yeah. Very exciting. 20 years. It's funny. I remember stuff from the beginning that it just went by so fast, 20 years. And so I've learned so many things over the last, the whole starting of the business.
I can, and at the same time, sort of cannot imagine, because in the past, like four or five of just my, you know, particular direction that I went in, so much has changed. And so when we're talking about 20 years, we're talking about like the internet, baby, right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. It was like no cell phones. My computer was, we just did a video about the 20 year anniversary, and I found all these old photographs from my first office when I lived in Massachusetts. I lived in Milton, Massachusetts for years, and the computer was like a monster. I mean, it was like the monitor was a huge old school, you know, I mean, it was humongous. And, you know, it was one of those, like, I think I paid a couple $1,000s. I mean, it's like, you know, back when you could get a computer for what you can get them for now. But it was really funny to like look back and look at that, look at the workspace, and definitely more primitive conditions, if you will.
Absolutely. And like, I always laugh when I go down memory lane of the way we used to store and like stress about how much was going to fit onto a storage disk or a SkyQuest drive or like
floppy disk. Like,
oh my God,
floppy disk. Who even knows what that is anymore, you know?
Right. So let's, since we're back there, we're back in the beginnings of your business.
Yes.
When you began, did you begin in the industry niche of specific to weddings, or did you kind of have a little meandering road in the early days?
It was definitely, well, the way it really started was I had, I've been doing calligraphy for just different people's weddings, like, so the wedding envelope. And that was kind of how everything started, was with the wedding calligraphy. And then people kept asking me to do it. So I kept doing it. And then, you know, people would say, oh, you should do this as a business. And I'd be like, yeah, okay, whatever. But I just kept getting jobs. And so I started, that was what made me kind of decide that I would go in that direction. When I first started, I had to hand paint everything because I didn't have, you know, I didn't know how to go about having things printed. I didn't have the money to like buy expensive equipment. And plus I didn't know how far it was going to go. Like, I didn't know, is this just going to be a thing, a small thing, or is this going to turn into something? So I started doing the wedding calligraphy, and then it kind of morphed into greeting cards, hand-painted with hand calligraphy. And then it just kind of kept going, and hand-painted wedding invitations, and everything was hand-painted until 2006. And I started in 1999. I know. So that was... to kind of reach a level where I was like, okay, I'm not going to be able to, you know, like grow or increase my business at all unless I find like another way to do this. But really everything started with hand-painted cards and calligraphy, and just like basically taking any job that people asked for. I would just do whatever would pay the bills, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And were you, I mean, I'm imagining it was like a side hustle in the beginning. Were you working somewhere else and that just started to take over?
Yes. I was waitressing. So, I actually was a second grade teacher for 6 years. I did that. And, I've been doing that. The sixth year I did it, I ran the Boston Marathon. And after I ran the Boston Marathon, I thought, well, if I can do that, I can do anything. So that was kind of what prompted me. I left teaching thinking I want to do something creative, but not knowing exactly what that would be. So I always, I waitressed for so many years. It's like the good way to make money. And I was doing that on the side. And I was doing that until 02, where that's when business started really getting busy. And I had this idea in my head, if I ever kind of drop the ball on any project I'm working on, or I feel like rushed or late or whatever, that to me is going to be like the sign that I need to like stop the waitressing. And it got to that tipping point. And so I made the decision to leave the restaurant, and that was a great job. It was like good money and kind of steady. I mean, waitressing, you never know what you're going to make, but it's still more steady than like having nothing. So, I left that job in 2002, and then I would still sometimes here and there, like I had a friend who had a landscaping company. So I did that for a while. I would help her, and I would do like tutoring and babysitting. And if I was like, oh my God, I'm going to starve, you know,
I lived with
my sister at the time. And she was really great. Like if I had a tight month, she'd help me out of a jam, and she would help me a little bit with the business. You know, she was always a great supporter, you know, when we were living together in the Boston area. But yeah, so I always kind of had to do something. Really, I kind of broke out of that until probably for the last year. So probably about 2003, I was able to kind of just, I was doing this business and this business alone.
Yeah. What you just said, something kind of triggered me with, you said, if I ever drop the ball or miss a deadline, that will be an indicator to me that, and you didn't say that I need to quit, that I can't handle this. You said that I need to go all in, that's when the other stuff has to go away.
Exactly.
That's a really positive twist because I know that I live in fear of missing deadlines. sometimes you feel like, does that just mean I can't do this? No, it means you can't do the other things if this is what you want to do.
Yeah. And it was terrifying. Like, it was terrifying. I had no money. I took out a personal loan so I could get my website and get a computer. And that was in 1999. And, I had my first website. I hired somebody to build my first website for me, but it was like, and I had no experience with business. I didn't know anything about taking deposits. I didn't know about like the most basic stuff. And of course, like when you're first starting out, I was undercharging like ridiculous. I should have been charging more, but you know, but you also have to get the experience. So it's like, I wanted to be building a portfolio for myself. But, you know, it's still, I mean, pricing, it's a struggle even today for me. Like, it's one of the difficult parts of being in business, I think, because you want to be competitive, yet you have to, you know, like, you have to eat and pay the mortgage, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, we do that, I think, in the beginning. We're hungry to build that portfolio.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a little bit of a battle. And then it's tough. I remember someone told me, you've got to price high because you can always have a sale. You can always run a coupon, but you can't raise your prices. And I thought, that's interesting to look at it that way. It's very difficult to up your price. I mean, you do over time, of course, things, prices do go up, but you know, it's usually got to be pretty incremental. And so if you've started way too low, it's really making it tough for yourself, I think.
Absolutely.
So flashing forward now, this is, we've gone from you taking out a loan to buy a computer and get a website made to now you payroll yourself and your husband.
Exactly. So I know.
Something good happened in between.
It's true. It's so funny because we talked about it for years. I mean, I should also interject, when I moved from Boston to New Hampshire, I was, you know, it's difficult because I had a huge client base down there. I had all kinds of regulars. People saw me all the time. So they thought of me and, you know, I was like their go-to for so many things, invitations and cards and whatnot. And then it's like, I moved here and I had to remarket myself completely. Yes. I mean, it was just...
I'm surprised because it's not like you came from California to New England. It's like just from Mass to New Hampshire, it doesn't seem like that big of a jump.
Exactly. It was just a whole different, just kind of a different vibe up here. And I started doing some networking groups and that kind of thing, but business kind of slowed down a bit because I wasn't kind of involved with all the groups I was in down there. And I had a lot of neat opportunities and I did like you know, networking groups down there. And there's just so many more people that it was just, I don't know, I felt like in a lot of ways it was a great place to start my business because it was just the sheer volume of people. And it's definitely more of a like a smaller town feel where I am now. So when I moved here, it was tricky because I had to kind of reinvent myself somewhat to what people were looking for in this area. And with that, we started thinking more about doing the craft shows. And that was when my husband, Bob, who he had a job, he was working in a completely different industry. He was working in the oil company. And we started doing these shows together on the weekends. And that was what started the conversation of, we could do this together, like down the road. Because we started noticing, okay, the shows were doing pretty well in the shows together. And that was kind of that was our first glimpse of like, we could kind of make this be successful together and there'd be stuff for him to do and stuff for me to do. And so he's been with me full time. It'll be 4 years this April.
Oh my goodness. So when you say he'll have stuff to do, what's his role? Because he's not the calligrapher.
No, he's not. Well, it's funny because I'm sitting in my office right now, which is, it's very pretty. He repainted it for me and I redecorated it a couple years ago. It's like coral pink with floral pictures and cat pictures and pictures of my friends and family. And he's got the whole downstairs area. He works down in the cellar and he's changed it into a workshop. So he's got like basically most of the footprint of the house for his area because he does all the production. And I do the creative. So he does, he produces the invitations, which is actually the wedding invitations are the biggest piece of our business right now. And then he produces cards and all the inventory for the craft shows. And he's got all this space downstairs where he has sections where he keeps his paper and created inventory and workspaces and a whole bunch of printers and, but he's built that up for himself over the last 4 years and moved the area around. It used to be smaller, that's the way his brain works. Like he's very like production oriented and how to like get the most out of a 22 by 30 sheet of, you know, the big paper, and he envisioned the best way to like lay it out. He has like no waste. Like when I was running the print show, it was like I would get through something and I'd be like, you know, I'd print 100 cards and at the end I would like have way more waste because things wouldn't center correctly because I wasn't paying enough attention, and that was just not my strength. So there was a lot more waste when I was in charge of the production, but that's his strength. He's really good.
That's a great balance. And what about technology? Are one of you stronger than the other with technology?
Well, you know, not really. Yes and no. Like I am definitely, everything that we've learned, we've figured it out, Michelle. It's like neither one of us ever took a class. I mean, I took like computers in college, but that was in like 1990, I graduated from college. So it was like, I was using a typewriter most of college.
Right.
So both of us, like, we always say we know enough to be dangerous. But we can do what we need to do. We have someone who we work with who does all our back of the house on the website. So he sets up new pages for us and does the code and all those types of things. The last time we had a new website done in 2016, and we had somebody completely develop and create that for us. So it's like we both know our limitations, but we have to use Photoshop somewhat to like with text and moving things around and all that. So technology wise, you know, it's a work in progress, but that's something that we kind of I'd rather outsource.
I think that's great. I think that one of the things the creatives struggle with is we feel like we have to be the expert on everything just because we're a small operation. Right. And then, I mean, that's a huge time suck to be like, oh, instead of creating today, I think I'll just go learn this piece of software for the next month.
Exactly.
You know, you're not creating, you're not producing.
Yes. It's so true. And that's the part, like, I'm still right now, currently, that's one thing that I'm really juggling, because we have to do the contracts and all those things for all our brides for this year. So I have like a boilerplate contract that I use that was created for me by an attorney. And I just kind of put all my information into each one. But even that is timely, because you know, we have to figure out the timelines and when's it going to go to print and when do I need this list from, you know, the guest list from the client and all these things. So I was planning on this week being like mostly creative week, and actually from this afternoon on it will be. But the first part of the week I spent doing timelines and contracts and, you know, because you have to line up those things and have a good system. So then everybody feels comfortable, like, you know, people know you're going to get them what they need on time. And for my own peace of mind, like, it's, I get so stressed when I just have all these things buzzing around in my head and they're not on paper yet, you know?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think something that for me, and probably, I know you can relate to this, because wedding industry, it's one thing when we do, when I do something that's going to be for a corporation or a business, because you've always got like all these people involved and the timeline slips a few days, slips a few weeks because of changes. And, you know, nobody likes that, but it happens. But with a wedding, no, nobody's changing the date because the calligrapher didn't deliver.
Exactly.
It is so make or break.
Yep, absolutely, 100%.
Do you have any ways that, any flags that you can sort of see that a customer is, you know, going to create a problem for themselves when they're like, they're not, when they're the customer and they're not making deliverables, they're not giving you the, I know you do like some seating information, and they're waiting on their guests to give them the information so that they can give it to you. And again, the wedding date is not going to move.
Exactly.
How do you handle that? Do you just wait and pray with sweaty hands? Like, you know, hoping it all works out?
Yes and no. Like I say, I have a contract, and it is, using terminology from a father of the bride from a couple of years ago who was also an attorney, and it was not said in a positive way, ironclad. That was the terminology he used to describe it, which I took as a compliment because we put a lot of time and work into it. And essentially what happens is I put timelines on the contract. So it says, here's what you can expect from me. These are my dates. And this is what I'm going to provide on these dates. So you get your proof on this date. We're mailing out on this date. You're going to see the final menu and program proof on this date. And you can pick up all your items or we'll ship on this date. So all my responsibilities are there. And then, you know, on the other hand, we have the client. This is when I need your final wording. I need your final okay and numbers on this date. This is like our do or die for the seating chart, seating plan, escort cards, all those things, like the last minute thing. And it says very clearly, in order to have everything delivered on time, we must stick to these timelines. And if you can't, you know, there'll be like a, you know, we have to do like an overnighting fee. Luckily, we've never had to do that. I mean, I'm knocking on wood when I say that. We've had a couple of people that were, since we've had the contract, let me put it that way, before the contract, I remember there was one time I had a seating chart that's one of our specialty items, and it's handwritten calligraphy, hand painted to order for the customer. Okay.
Wow.
And it's one of my favorite things to do. I love them because they're always like, it's like a work of art that you hang up in your home when they're done. So this was going to be super cool. I was excited about the design, and they were supposed to get me the final list I require like at least 11 days before the wedding, because getting the seating plan together can be challenging, as you know, from being in the industry. I didn't get the list until the Wednesday before the wedding, which was, that gave me like 3 days to do this project, not even like 2.5 days. And when I do something like that, I like to work on it, walk away for a day, go back to it, walk away, because as a creative person, it's like sometimes the ideas are just rolling in. Some days I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't just do 1, 2, 3, create. It just might not be coming to me. So that's why I like to have a cushion of time.
You're right.
And even that's not that much of a cushion. I mean, I kind of give myself like a week to really work on the thing. even though I'm mulling it over before I get the final list. So that was challenging. But since then, people pretty much stick to it. And, you know, again, if there's a problem, it's all in writing. And it's like, I've learned I have to have contracts with deadlines, because people will, if you don't give them some guidance, and honestly, people want direction. Like, they want me to tell them what's the best way to do it. You know, when they ask, what do they need for their wedding? I tell them, like, you need this, you need this. If they're on a budget or whatever, where can we cut corners? Or is there something that we really don't need? I'll tell them. Because
absolutely,
most
yeah.
people have a budget. Like, you'd rather, I don't know, I'd rather just be upfront and talk about it and say, what's the thing that's really going to stand out to their guests the most, you know?
Right. And, you know, it's, you do it again and again and again. And yep. it's like, it's not your first rodeo, so to speak. And for yep. some people, it is theirs. And each week that you sign up a new bride, they didn't just get married 6 months ago. They've
exactly.
not walked through this process.
Exactly.
They need that. And I think the calendar is our friend always. Even us as creatives, the brides, they need to know, yep, if you don't have that by January 8th, then guess what you don't have by January 20th.
Exactly. It's so true. And I have three, it sounds crazy, but I have three working calendars in my office. One of them is my planner, my book that has all the dates of what I need, what I have due, and all the dates of what my clients have due. I have the big desk calendar that has all my stuff only on it. So I look at it and I'm like, what's due today? Like, today I have a custom painting due for a New York, it's like in the Finger Lakes, it's a wedding, and we're doing like a scene painting, and I've been working on it, but I'm finalizing it today. And then my other calendar has what's coming in. So if I ask somebody for invitation verbiage, this is the day they're sending their stuff. So then I can just easily look at that and say, okay, what's coming in today? And then, oh, their proofs are due next week. It prompts me to look at my own. Because I know so many people do things on their phone, but I like to have it right in front of me.
I know.
It's old-fashioned.
It's a better, I think it's just more visual. I mean, you
right.
know, people can say that's an old-fashioned thing, but if I think as creatives, if we don't have like metrics in front of us that we can
yes.
read like a cartoon,
yes.
then, you
yes.
know, it's useless.
I agree, 100%.
Out of sight, out of mind, right?
Yes, I know. It's true. Like, I have to write everything down because I have so many things buzzing around in my head. And I feel like there's like 3,000 things in there, but there's only room for like 100, you know?
And oh, yeah.
It's, I'm sure you can relate to that.
Yep. And yep. I mean, one thing that I wanted to definitely talk with you about the consistency, and you just reminded me of a different type of consistency. One, I want to talk to you about your consistency in your style, and we'll go back to that. But right now, consistency in the flow, I find one of my biggest challenges is when I'm really booked and like you actually have a real like nice big avalanche of work.
Yep.
The last thing I want to do is sell more because I'm like, oh dear God, no, I can't do it all.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, because you really are like the central key artisan creating the stuff. I'm assuming you must have moments where you're like, oh my God, make it stop. I can't take another sale, but you have to keep booking.
Yeah, it's true. And last year was a perfect example of that. 2018 was just so, so incredibly busy. And what I learned from that was I have to manage our timelines, Bob and my timelines for production, even better than I have been, because we weren't expecting it. It came out of nowhere. It was just like inquiries, and people can buy invitations from the website. So people would just go on the website and buy stuff. So it's like, okay, great. Everything's manageable. We're good. Oh my goodness. We just got an order from Virginia. They just ordered 100 wedding invitations. And
yeah,
we have like
yeah.
a kind of a, so that's kind of the thing. On one hand, that's really great because when we get an order like that, like we got one last Friday and I was like, okay, great. We just got an invitation order. It was kind of a quiet week. So I'm like, oh, this is good. You know, it's a little money in the bank. It's always a plus. But I think what I'm really trying to do is because I do lots with social media, I do an email. I, you know, just kind of keep us in the forefront of people's minds. And the idea that if I try to manage the schedule a little better for this upcoming year, because looking at certain months, they're getting full, and we're going to have to say no to some work, like if we get a lot of inquiries coming closer to the time. So I think it's a balance. It's like we were super busy last year. We had a very good and productive business year and had some money in the bank, which is always nice, especially with this type of a job. I mean, you know how it is. It's like some months you could, that was the hardest thing when Bob came over to this creative side, was he was used to having a check every week. And like the emotional roller coaster being self-employed, it's like some weeks we get 10 checks. Some weeks we get nothing. Sometimes we get nothing 3 weeks in a row. And it's like, oh my goodness. Right. Okay. Take a deep breath. You're okay. It's going to be fine. but when you're in the middle of that, it's awful. So it's true, that idea of like, when I get inquiries, I try to like, especially now, I try to just firm everything up with some paperwork right away, because in that way I can just put it off to the side and I don't have to think, oh, these jobs are floating around nebulously in possibly my future. I don't know, you know?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I've seen you post on social media. You still do craft fairs, right? And art fairs, craft fairs?
Yeah.
How do you even do that? Because I'm thinking like, oh my God, this is wedding season. What is she, how can she even leave the house? How do you leave the house?
It's funny. Well, we've decided we're only doing one a month for the summer. So we do one in June, which is local, right in Portsmouth. We love it. We do one in July, one in August, and then we really heat them up for September, October, November, because that's when the weddings quiet down. So we kind of do a lot of weddings. Like we started in, you know, beginning of February this year, and that'll go take us right through, right now we have them scheduled right through the beginning of October. But in the summer, it's true. Like last summer, we had two huge wedding projects the same week as one of our favorite shows. And the two of us knew we were just going to get sick if we went one step further. And so we ended up having to not be able to go to that. That particular show, which stinks. I'm hoping we'll just do it this year again, because we hate to do that. It just feels like, oh, you're like, you're letting people down. And we have lots of regulars that go there. And, but the thing with the craft shows is we get lots of wedding clients from that.
Oh, okay. Right.
So we'll get people that come and, you know, just like our cards and they like our maps. And basically, I mean, I don't say we get one from every show, but I'd say we probably get at least 2 to 3 clients a year who we've met in that realm. That's pretty good ratio, you know?
Yeah, totally.
It's worth it for us. Plus, it's nice, Michelle, we get out of the house, you know? It's like, that's the thing, is working at home. It's great. We love it. It's comfortable, but like, you know, sometimes it's nice to have some human interaction too.
It is. And it's good to get to know your customers like face to face. That's a very, very valuable. And, you know, I remember meeting a couple of women who have a specialty style of their illustration, and they were at Surtex a few years ago in New York, and they're called the Working Girls. They're out of Las Vegas.
Okay.
And their illustration style is like, these women who, you know, like the funky kind of loosely drawn women holding a martini or a glass of wine and saying something a little on the sassy side.
Yep, cute.
And they're out there marketing that, you know, that look, that one kind of style, house style that they have. And still they would have professionals come and say, oh, do you have anything coastal, or do you do any snowmen in there? And the key artist person was like, no, we draw women with drinks. Very established. And I thought, do you ever have people, because your look, your style is very beautiful and established. I feel like I know when I go to deal with you exactly the kind of look I would get. But do you ever get those rogue people who are like, oh, I see that you've done like 7,000 things like this, but you know what I really want is, and they describe something that you're like, no. Do you still get that, or do you find that more and more you don't?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. I'll get like, oh my gosh, I've had so many, just, I call them obscure requests. And it's like, I'll get these obscure requests, like people that want, first of all, I don't do people. Like, I just don't. It's just not in my wheelhouse. They're not my best. I will paint a million flowers And my people just are not what I do. When people want to do, I'll have people. I used to do whimsical portraits, and then I found they're way more trouble than they're worth because they never come out looking how I want them to be. I'm very picky. And so I've had to like put the brakes on that when people want that. When people want, they want me to take their logo and work with their logo, unless the logo is something that I can turn into something easily watercolor-ish. I've never done that. And really the idea that I've had people that send me, oh, I love your style. And then they're like, can you do an invitation like this? And they'll send somebody else's work. And it looks nothing like what I do. Like it's watercolor, but like, you know how it is, a watercolor, there's as many watercolor design people as there are styles. I mean, everyone has their own. So it's like, it looks like the, this one that sent me the thing, it looks like that Tasha Tudor style, like, you know, Tasha Tudor, those books, the kids' books.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's got a beautiful style, but it's nothing like what I do. And so I just, when that happens, I just say, I don't think this is going to work. Like, it's not a great fit because this isn't what I do, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think you have to be able to say no, or else, you know, you'll go far enough down the line and you just kick yourself. Like, yeah. Why did I even, I should have known better. I think in the beginning we don't, we want to see, well, maybe I can, maybe.
Yeah. Right. But, right. Like, especially like when you need to pay rent or, I was financially really struggling for many years when I was doing this at first. And it was like, I would just take every job. I never took a deposit. And even if it was something I wasn't really comfortable doing, I was like, well, I can figure that out, you know? And it was just so stressful. And it's true. Saying no, it's like a super valuable lesson, but that it like leaves room for the right job to come in when I say no to the wrong job.
Absolutely. I think that's huge. I mean, they always say, you know, whatever you say yes to, keep in mind, you're saying no to something else.
Right.
Every time we say yes, there's something that we can't do.
Yes, that's true. I love that.
Yeah, it's a little too true. I think, you know, there's just so many hours in the day and the season. So for you, do you feel like, do you have kind of a dual season? Like, are you pretty much focused on weddings or do you have like an upswing at Christmas time too? Is that a good time for you and your stuff?
It is. We do great at Christmas time. The weddings, it's nice because we always think like, oh gosh, so many wedding professionals don't have something that carries them through the whole year. And they start worrying, you know, like in the fall into the winter. And, you know, really, we're busy all year. It's like we're busy now with weddings. January, it was like contracts and getting organized. Weddings, we've already had inquiries for next year, for 2020. And we really carry that wedding season, and then we kind of roll into the show season, craft shows, September, October, and that's when I do my calendar. Christmas cards, we do a huge Christmas card business.
Really
when the website retail kicks in. We have people all year, really, that'll just go and like stock up on cards, and, you know, they'll buy our maps and our prints and all these little things. But we definitely do really well in the fall preceding Christmas for gifts and cards, and it's fun. We don't have a lot of downtime, but
that is good.
Yeah, it's a blessing really to not have to, you know, it's just been a good flow. And when Bob came on board with me, this is a great example. When he came on board with me in 2015, that week, and I knew he was nervous about the financial piece, the week that he left his job at the propane company, we got like just random jobs, like a wedding shower, a couple little goosey-gotsy things, and it was like $600 kind of just got firmed up that first week. And it was just a random week in April, and I thought, this is a good indicator of he made the right decision, you know? And, you know, I feel like we get the work we're supposed to get. We just kind of continue just, I want to be good to all my customers, and I want to be fair with everybody, and I feel like it all kind of comes back to us. You know,
that's fantastic. That's, I mean, it's a leap. You take a big leap there.
Yes.
Where do you think you guys would be heading for your next step in growth? Would it be more outsourcing? Would it be hiring? Would it be more technology stuff? Like, how do you grow from here?
Yeah, good question. We're actually looking into a client management software right now, which is going to take a lot off my plate as far as simplifying the contracts and all the admin stuff. We don't want to hire. We just want to keep it small, the two of us. But the outsourcing, Michelle, all day long. Like, we have somebody already doing the web stuff. We have an accountant who does our, Bob does most of the book stuff, but she does our taxes. And then we've had people print for us in the past. It's something that we might do, but we do like to have the control over the color, the timeline, and that sort of thing. So that's something we're kind of looking into. But as far as growth, it's going to be more in the outsourcing direction versus hiring. We don't need to be multi-gazillionaires. We just want to like lead a nice, happy, simple life and put some money away for our future and have it just be kind of the two of us. Like, we're kind of a little unit, you know?
That's awesome. It sounds like such a good balance. And it sounds like I like to operate from a low overhead standpoint too, so that way, if something does get a little tight, you can always sort of cut one of the outsourcing things or cut back on something, and it's not like having a layoff.
Exactly. It's so true. And the idea of being able to keep it under our roof is like, okay, we know if we need paper, we just order it. We know that if we promise something to a client, we know it's going to get done because we have it on our timeline instead of shipping it out and somebody else like, oh my gosh, their invitations were supposed to be here. They're not here. And we promised them to the client. And it just, I just think it adds too much confusion in the mix.
Yeah, absolutely. But one thing I actually want to circle back real quick is you said networking. And you had told me about the Relevant workshop. I wish I could make it to that. I will be out of town. But you were talking about networking down in Boston and how you had to reinvent when you moved up here. And so do you still value, now that we have the social media more than, you know, we used to way back, do you still value the face-to-face as much with networking groups, like peer-to-peer industry stuff?
I do. I mean, I haven't been able to get out as much lately, only because the workload, and I had some stuff going on with my back, which was kind of a like a time buster this winter. That's another thing. When you're working for yourself, it's like, okay, if you get hurt, you got to have a little bit of a plan in place how you're going to handle that. If the networking is, I do a lot of like one-on-one, have a coffee with someone. I like that because then I can find out like, what do they do exactly? How can I send them work? But doing an event, like there are a lot of events. There seem to be a lot in Maine, not as many. I'd love to get some more in New Hampshire, but there's a lot of like networking events at restaurants and that sort of thing. And I've gone to a lot of those, and it's just nice because you meet other people in the industry. I like the one-on-one. The social media is great, but there's nothing like sitting down and having a conversation.
Right.
I get so much out of that. And the idea of, I try when I go, because sometimes it's nerve-wracking, like, oh my gosh, I go to this networking thing, there's 100 people here, and I don't know, maybe I know one or two people, and maybe not know. So what I try to do, I try to just be in this mindset of like, don't think of what is going to come out of it for me. I try to think, what can I bring? So the idea of like, I look around and I'm like, okay, who do I not know? Who maybe looks a little uncomfortable? And I'm just like, put myself out there, because that's kind of how I started my business too. Like, I talk about it in my little video. I used to go to my health club and sit in the lobby. I mean, of course, they gave me permission to do this with my easel. And I would pay, you know, like, wouldn't that be random? But they set up a table for me, and I would have my easel. And, like, people would come in to do their workout. They'd be like, oh, my gosh, what's coming up? Valentine's Day, will you make a card for my wife? And I would do these hand-painted cards in the lobby of my health club.
And it God. That is, like, one of the most creative guerrilla marketing techniques I have even heard of. That's fantastic.
I know, it was very fun. So, but it was one of those, like, I just had to kind of like swallow my pride and be like, you know what? I'm just going to put myself out there. I'm going to do it. What's the worst thing that could happen? Somebody thinks I'm a dork, you know? So it's like, I just have to, you know, and when I'm in those type of situations, I kind of try to do the same thing and just think, you know, go into it, approach it that way, because you just never know who you're going to meet. And I don't know, I feel like, and the human connection is so nice. It's like, everybody is kind of, there's plenty of work for all of us, Michelle. You know, it's like,
absolutely.
I feel like I had a conversation with a girl who does maps in, she's in the Portsmouth area. And I called her up the other day to ask her, if I have people that only want a map, they don't want to do the invitation and the whole shebang, because that's one of our requirements, is we have to be working together for the wedding map. We need to be doing the entire suite. And I hate saying no to people, so I'm trying to expand who I recommend. So I had a conversation with her and said, is it okay if I recommend you? And I got her information. And because there's plenty of work for everybody. It's like, you know, I know it's hard when you're starting out and it's a struggle. And but I don't need 100 weddings a year. Like, we did 48 last year and it just about killed us. So it's, you know, you kind of, that idea of the networking and having people who you can refer. And I think it's a huge part of it. And it does take effort, though. It's like, it is a little more effort, and it's a little out of the comfort zone. But the more I do it, the more comfortable I am doing it.
Right. Absolutely. Yep. And, you know, it all kind of comes back to you. It's sort of this like reciprocal kind of thing. You know, you don't know what's going to pay off down the line, and they'll think of you. And
yeah. And all the people that have helped me so far, you know, I think there's so many people that I've worked with who have been great clients or have just referred me work. And, you know, it's like, oh, the idea of paying it forward, you know, I may not be able to give that person back, you know, the same work that they gave me, but like, if I can pass it on to somebody else, I think that's just, you know, super meaningful and makes me feel like, oh, I appreciate what people did for me. Now I need to do that for somebody else, instead of always thinking, what's my end game, you know?
Right. Totally. I think we all start out that way, like a little defensive. Like, I can do it. I can do everything. And everyone else is just, you know, like in my turf, and it's totally not.
Exactly. Exactly. Nope. And it's easier for me to say that now than it was 10 years ago, because in that time frame, I was still really trying to get my act together. I mean,
right.
But now that we're kind of like a tried and true business model, and we're comfortable with how things run around here and how we, you know, map things out, it just has opened up so many more possibilities.
Good. Oh, that's awesome. You are so inspiring. My God, we could talk for like weeks here. There's so
I know.
Many things.
Well, we need to plan lunch anyway.
That sounds perfect. Absolutely. Yeah. I know, we've been saying this for a couple of years, but it's going to happen.
Yes, it is going to happen. I'm bummed you can't do Relevant, but maybe next year.
I know. Yeah, well, thank you so much. I'm going to be posting some, you know, images and links online, although, you know, this is a podcast, so people don't have a lot of visuals, but there will be links that, you know, they can find and check out your work, check out your website, your social media, all of that. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Share it all over my realm also. That would be fun.
Perfect. That sounds great. Well, thank you again.
Thanks so much, Michelle. And I look forward to getting together soon.
Yes, absolutely. And happy kickoff to the wedding season. It's coming up any minute now.
So. Thank you. You too.
All right.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye. Have a great day.
Bye. Thanks, you too. Bye.